Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You a good-looking young man. If I was a woman, I'd holler at you. Like, what's going on there, man? You're 19, brother.
Yo, you said you'll holler at him?
Man, hell, you look at him.
Hey,
right. I'm real, man. I say it all the time. I would raise a child with Jason Momoa if he was willing to do it.
If you had to pick between an X or a Z, without any context, just in general, who would be your X between the two of us? I'm not giving you any context, just pick who you would pick as your X. Just in general, just say it. Just
like the
just
letters,
random.
Like X and yep. Z?
X and Z. Between him, who would be your X?
Probably X and Z.
Yes!
I don't know.
The debate is over. I won.
Oh, the debate.
No context.
I finally
no
got
context.
I got somebody to finally vote for me.
y'all didn't party during the season?
I still don't go out.
Oh, yeah. Party? When you got to Miami, I took you out a couple times.
Took me out a couple times.
You tapped out on me.
Yeah, I tapped out.
You stopped answering
the phone. Yeah, I mean.
I was focused too on party.
Listen, here's the thing. I probably would have been out there with y'all more if, you know, I was single, but Misha wasn't having that.
Yeah. Nah. Misha ain't like me at first, I don't think.
Oh, I mean, you trying to take me to strip clubs.
We just hanging out. You don't have to categorize hanging out. We just hanging out.
But at a strip club?
You know, everybody done loved Wendell. That's documented. Yeah. You know, we were talking about Kevin Harvick and Chase Elliott.
Yeah.
In the NASCAR beef.
Right.
Greatest NASCAR beef of all time, Wendell Scott. Wendell Scott and Jack Smith.
You think?
To what other NASCAR driver pulled out a yapper at
what's
the race?
What's a yapper? Like, now you... So, yeah. It's a yapper.
They kind of helped me out over there.
Yeah, I know, but the people watching, everybody don't know what a yapper is.
Yeah. Right, let me tell you about that.
Just remember, yapper.
Yeah.
Spell it.
Yeah, I know.
Pull out the yapper.
I know.
Okay, let me tell you about it. In the second year, my father in Cup, Grand National, he set a half-mile dirt track record in Savannah, Georgia. First man to ever run a half-mile dirt track under 26 seconds. So in the driver's meeting, we meet on the track for the meeting, you know, they gave it to him. He didn't really go that fast, right? Jack Smith walked up there, he said, when they dropped the green flag, he said, I got 5 of these in the afternoon. This one right here, I'm gonna run it clean through that raggedy ass Chevrolet of yours. Daddy said, well, Jack, if you pass me on the outside. So he got into a thing where he was bumping our car and wrecking my father, whatever. So my father got tired of it. And my father didn't allow us to carry weapons to the track because he knew we couldn't win. I mean, it's 4 or 5 of us, 20,000 people. But on this particular night in Valdosta, Georgia, Jack Smith pulled up beside my father and pointed his finger and said, I'm gonna get you again tonight. And Dad had the pistol and he said, yeah, I'm gonna get you.
Yopper.
Yopper, he said yopper.
Yopper.
Let me say something to you though, man. You made me think about a quote my daddy used to use. My father said, look, Just because I lose a race, it don't mean I'm defeated. Mm. So when you get in the boxing ring, if you happen to decision don't go against you, that don't mean you're defeated.
Mm. Did you watch his first fight?
No, I haven't seen him fight.
Chan, can you give him a recap of the first fight?
I'm trying to understand how the recap of the first fight would be bad anyway, but go ahead.
Just you.
You look good. You look phenomenal.
You were moving great. Well, but there was a point. It was quick. Your booty was in the air.
No, it wasn't.
Hold chill.
Sir, I was down maybe 0.2 seconds.
Quick.
And got up.
You got up quick. Yeah,
but it's boxing. Up. It's like they don't understand in boxing, you go down.
You got to have one or the other.
Right.
That's what it is.
I don't think they understand the dynamic of actually getting in the ring.
Yeah.
No amateur experience on pay-per-view.
Right.
In front of the world.
Right.
In front of fans.
Right.
For your first ever fight and actually doing it against somebody that does it for a profession. Like, that takes cojones.
You know, you're a kid from Alabama, and I mean, I don't have any friends that grew up saying, I'm gonna go race a car. Like, how the hell does that happen?
Man, we just started when I was young. We started, like I said, 9 years old, and we just went to race. I enjoyed it. I fell in love with just the driving aspect of it. It was hard as hell. I didn't know what I was doing. I wasn't very good to start, but I just enjoyed it. And I quickly became competitive and like wanted to get better. And things just started to click. And it's like, all right, we got this level figured out. Let's move to the next. It would just be like that. Step and repeat, step and repeat, step and repeat until you're where I'm at today. And like, I didn't, you know, when you started playing ball, did you have dreams of being in the professional level?
I did.
I didn't. I didn't give a damn about NASCAR. Not in a negative way. I didn't know a thing about it. And I lived 15 minutes on the racetrack. We just raced. I didn't know that this was a gateway to where I'm at today. It was just like, hey, we're gonna go race a cup car next year. Okay, let's do it. I'm just going to race, and that's it.
Do you feel like, you know, this win came at the right time? Like, did you start questioning yourself, like, this past year or so? Were you questioning yourself?
Oh, no doubt. I got to probably halfway through this year and already started writing the ship. And it's like, man, we're going to run 15th to 20th, and we're going to end up here. And then that quickly switched over to counting how many races I had left on my contract. Simple as that. Wow. I said, you know, I don't know what MJ's and Denny's vision is, but I know they're winners. And my only saving grace was Denny didn't win until the playoffs started. So I was like, hey, the boss ain't winning. We ain't winning. We're good. Well, then he went and won. And I was like, oh, no. And so, you know, I was like, all right, I got one more year left. And, you know, that's might be it. I could be totally wrong. I don't know. You never know. When your contract is stated to an X amount of date, that's all you know. And does this win feel like that gave me another year? No, not necessarily. But for my mental state, they could cut me tomorrow and I'd be the happiest man.
June 16th of 2020 was when I came out to my family and very, very close friends. And that was
2020?
2020. I couldn't do the double life anymore. I knew I was gay in seventh grade. I didn't accept it at first myself. You know, I was so hard on myself. I'm like, no, that's nope. And I did everything to change it. I really did. I mean, you know, I had girlfriends and I knew who I was. And so it came time of where I had to tell everybody who I was. And so here we were in 2020, dealt with a, you know, global pandemic. And so while we're sitting there on lockdown and inside, I really had a lot of time to think about myself. And my mental health was at absolute rock bottom. And it got to the point where I either needed to come out because I couldn't deal with the burden and the weight anymore, or I wasn't gonna be here anymore. I tried to commit suicide 2 times. And they weren't successful. I'm still here. I'm glad they weren't successful. But at that time and in that state of mind, and how low I was with my mental health and my image on myself and how everybody else felt, or how I thought everybody else was gonna feel, I was so caught up in my head, and there wasn't, there. It was all cloudiness, it was all darkness. I cannot wait to see what work I can do to not only help me and my career and my dreams and my goals, but now, you know, I see it. There's people DMing me all the time, like, you helped me come out, you gave me this, you did this for me, and wow, like this and that. I mean, it's all the time, from TikTok to Twitter to Insta, it's everywhere. And it's like, I'm doing something a lot larger than I think I'm, what, you know, what I think I'm doing. And it kind of clicked with me this year, like, I'm doing something, and that is more successful to me than what I thought my main goals were. This, what I can do for people and how I'm gonna be able to help people, I've won a life. Like, that's so assuring to me right here that I've done good and I can go help.
And that's why you wanted to, that's why you tweeted us,
Dev.
He got him coming out. Yeah. He leaking. He's leaking.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, man.
He leaking over there.
That's beautiful, though, man. Just from everything, from all any sect of the world that feels alienated. Mm-hmm. Like, that's bigger than everything.
2018, I was the first African American to ever win the Daytona 500. 70 years into the sport. Let's not forget that.
Big facts.
That's huge. It took 70 years. Yeah. So break down those barriers for the culture, for me, that's huge for
you
me.
You say that with a lot of pride.
Oh, bro, it means a lot.
It's a big deal.
It's 70 years, Brandon.
It's a Daytona 500.
For African American, for somebody that look like me and you, to win that race as a pit crew member, that says a lot.
And people have spent 20 years chasing that darn race. I finished second there.
Let's go. And Rocco, hey, yo, I swear to God, this is a true story.
You sound like me now.
Look,
Rocco, you sound like me.
We get that laugh. Look, next.
And his first, second attempt, he wins it.
Right? Your third year. That's my third year. My third year in the sport. I see him in Atlanta. This is a true story. The next race, I see him in Atlanta. He said, yo, me holler at you, bro. He said, yo, you know I've came second. 5 times at that race, right? So I'm like, damn, yo, my bad. Like, so, you know, at the
Daytona
end of the day.
Daytona 500 is like the Super Bowl.
That's a Super Bowl.
Yeah. The Super Bowl.
I was just going to say, Rocco, now, you know, in our sport, you get judged by Super Bowl rings.
Nah.
So I got to say, Rail is better at his job than you if he got the Super Bowl ring. Oh, you know.
5 times. Tell that boy.
5 times.
Hey, Stephen A. say the same thing.
5 times. What's really great about our relationship with Armando is it was important for me from day one to associate with people that are passionate about racing, believed in what we were doing, that were in a totally different space where we can bring them to NASCAR and they can bring our brand and our sport to their audience. I didn't want any element of this to be transactional. It was never gonna be, okay, Singer X, you know, I'm gonna pay you, you know, what, $1 million a year, and you're gonna do this many social posts, and you're gonna talk about us in a song, and it's a transaction. Never ever gonna be that. And it's not that way with Armando. We are truly partners in that we are contributing assets to each other's careers and each other's platforms and businesses to help lift both of us up.
Right. Let me ask you a question. Why are you saying Armando in that pit bull?
I mean, because you
read philosophy, you're a deep thinker.
Because my relationship is with the man, not the entertainer.
I didn't know his real name.
I ain't know it either. But we keep saying Pitbull. The whole world know Pitbull. And you keep saying Armando. Yeah. But break that down to me.
Because he's not Pitbull to me. He's my business. He's Armando Christian Perez, my business partner, our business partner at Trackhouse. And he's so much more than Pitbull.
As a young man, that separation, what goes on with the DM?
I mean, none really, man. I'm wiped up, so.
You wiped up? There you go. What talk about, boy?
Let him know. Shut that down real quick.
Now, shut it down.
I'm talking about
Ocho.
Wiped up.
Now, let's get back to 19-year-old Ocho. Would you have gave him that bill?
Huh?
19-year-old Ocho.
Different.
because at 19, I wasn't in the position he's. He's in a very, very peculiar position where you gotta move the right way.
I've lived by myself for the past year, man.
You live by yourself? You pay bills?
I don't pay bills, but I live by myself.
I don't pay bills. A guy like me, they were locking me up. I left my truck on the side of the road. Like, as a marketing guy for the NFL, like, when you see those stories, the Channing stories, do you just slap your head? You wake up in the morning and I'm in Alachua County Jail. Do you just slap your head and just...
I think, you know, listen, whether it's the NFL, the NBA, when you have stories that pull against the league, that's not ideal, yes. Right? So, and yeah, I think there's a little bit of a... How'd we get here, right? And yeah. Where do we get to the point where that was a good decision, right?
The answer was women in Hennessy.
So, So I'll tell you a quick story. When I was at the NFL, we had one of our sponsors was Visa, and they went and shot. I can't tell you who the player is. They had $1 million commercial shoot, right, for Visa, right? They got one player in the spot.
Right.
And the one player showed up about an hour late, and it was an all-day shoot. And he shoots for about, I don't know, 60 to 90 minutes. He gets to about lunch, right, because he's supposed to start at like 8 or 9 or whatever. And he just starts leaving. They're like, and I was there like, what's up? You know what? I'm going fishing.
Oh, wow.
They're at a million dollar shoot. Like, I'm going fishing.
Who's this player?
You want to guess? You want to do it?
Everyone gets a guess.
Brett Favre. No, let me guess.
I'm going to say my guy. Maybe, I don't know. It sounds like a Randy Moss move.
It wasn't Randy Moss.
Okay.
It was he was a Buck.
I know everybody.
I know
knows.
Exactly who it is now.
Yeah, now you know.
Big man,
now
you know.
Yeah.
99. Big dog.
You already know he fit, right?
We've had growth over the last 3 years, which feels really good because we were on a, if we're going to be completely honest, we were on a downward trend. We got to 2018 and really we touched the bottom, right? And since then we've been coming up, which very gratifying for anyone who works at NASCAR within this industry. There's a pride that we have that we turn this around.
Which is kind of interesting because what is 2018, you took over, you were the president. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, not a little bit.
You can't even be modest.
That's all
quincy. Why you be modest? Did you even say?
2018, all of a sudden. TV ratings down across all American sports. NASCAR, maintain, stabilize.
Yeah, so...
Okay, Steve, come on, give me some, baby. Talk, Steve. Let's go, baby.
Men pit crew members be a little jealous of the attention y'all get. Have y'all ever felt that?
Yes, definitely. But it's like, I mean, at the track, though, like, when the cameras are, like, following us around and the guys are just looking, I'm like, now, you know you be seeing this. Like, why are you acting surprised? You know, like, fix your face.
And it's like one of those things like we didn't ask for. So yeah. Like going back to like how Bubba didn't ask to be the face of NASCAR or the face of Black NASCAR. Like he didn't ask for that. He wears it well, and it's like you know, we came into this for our own opportunity, so we didn't ask for all of this attention. And while we're more than grateful and it's like the coolest thing ever, it's just like something you just like have to respect at the end of the day.
Right. Was the pit women friendly?
The pit women?
Was the pit, like the pit, was it women friendly? Did y'all have to go a long way to the bathroom? Did y'all have to, they had to make little outfits for y'all? I'm sorry, y'all are so
like porta potty, like.
Yeah, we're not trying to do that.
When I get to a track, like the first thing I do, I'm like, okay, where's the closest restroom?
I got you.
They're like, the guys are like, there's the porta johns. Anybody trying to use no porta potty?
Yeah. It's not so easy for us.
Because everyone you walk in, you're going to see a good morning poop just sitting in every single, anybody trying to sit up in that.
Mid race, you could just put one like little zipper down and you're done. And we're like, crap, I'll just hold it till the end.
Yeah, because we got to go through a whole bunch. We got to take everything down. Hold my radio. You know, I'll be back in like 10 minutes. Like.
Yo, this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2-gram net zero hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a bread head. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active cash.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
The next gen car. How y'all feel about it?
I like it and I don't like it.
Old school.
I like it.
I love it.
Because Kyle Busch is going to be able to practice and qualify.
Right.
I don't like it because, like you were saying, I like to see him hit them 5 lugs.
Yeah.
On my 75 inch, I'm sitting across the room and I got my binoculars, and when they come, not just them, the pit crews, I want to see if they hit all lugs.
I know, but when so you say 75 inch, no, because you said that you told this story before at dinner. When you say 75 inch.
TV.
So you're in the house with binoculars.
Yes.
That's where we was going.
Yes. I'm across the room with my binoculars.
Channing, you didn't know what he meant.
And I was like,
he didn't know what
you
I meant.
You sitting in your house with binoculars in front of the TV. Trying to see the screw gun that close?
I already had an accident when I too close to the race. We're talking about
it. When you say accident, hold on, what do you mean? Is the one where you threw up or?
Yeah,
is
man.
That the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, he threw up on himself.
Yeah, it wasn't because I
in
I
his
ate.
Helmet.
In the helmet. Ooh. Not just that, but I continued to race like that.
With everything.
Not just that, we were filming something that weekend and isn't
we got it on camera?
We have it.
Can you guys send it to us so we can put it in the show?
Probably not.
No, what you mean? No! What are you talking about?
As you guys may know or may imagine, to be a race car driver, you have to be lucky. You need to have support from your family. And you have to have some kind of money because racing is not cheap.
Mm,
you know,
right.
it's difficult. I didn't grow up with a family with money. You know, I didn't grow up with a family with money at all. My father has a restoration shop. You know, you can right. be you right. can have money right. doing
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So,
right.
you know, with that being said, when I moved to the US in 2011, I didn't speak English. I didn't have any friends. I didn't have any money at the time. I didn't have sponsors to come to the United States. All I had was a dream and a car that I drove all the way from Mexico to the United States. So if you think about it, a lot of the people that come from my country, from Mexico, from different places in Latin America, that they are trying to look for those opportunities, they're trying to break that barrier. They come to this country exactly the same way I came to this country, just trying to look for the opportunities. I mean, I didn't have anything. The first 6 months, I was living with friends of friends. I couldn't even afford to rent my own apartment. Yeah. So when I tell people where I am today and where I was 10 years ago, that give people inspiration to say, hey, if this guy can do it, why I can't do it?
By the time I was 13 or 14 years old, I've now raced 7-8 years,
you know, from the time I could, you know, barely walk to 13 or 14 and find myself in a spot where I can, I mean, it's taking a huge toll on them, the family that is. They're not gonna really keep this going. And they're like, all right, it's up to you. You're gonna figure this out. You gotta go knock on doors. You gotta go do whatever you gotta do. But long story short, we can't do this anymore ourselves. I think that was a turning point. Like, oh damn. It's serious. Like, this is it. This thing that you think is always going to be there.
You, when you say can't do it, meaning funding the whole operation?
Funding every part about it, right? I mean, I know, I remember my father not eating, leaving the racetrack at nights. You know, I have a half-sister. She didn't understand why, but I had seen it. Like, I'd seen, well, I know we didn't finish good enough tonight to make enough money. So we got to eat. I got to eat. My stepsister got to eat. Stepmother at the time got to eat. Dad didn't, right? Because physically couldn't. First guy the championship four wins it all. This guy's won, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 races this year. I haven't won any. I'm the second place guy.
Here they come racing back. One more lap in the season. One more lap for a championship.
Austin Cindric running for his life into turn number one. Here comes Hemric. He dials up the low lane. He goes to the bottom. They're banging behind him. It's Cindric by a nose.
Here I am. He's in touch. He's 3 feet in front of me, going to the final corner. The final corner, our entire season, 33 weeks. Well, for me, all 30 years of my life, building to this one particular corner. And he drives in the corner and he gives me 3 feet. 3 feet off the bottom. I surge to the middle, checker flag's in sight, just into his left rear. He gets loose, and I gas up. When I gas up, we're adoring each other.
Here they come down the back straightaway for the final time. Cindric is around Hemric. He'll grab sole possession of the lead. Hemric is going to drive it in deep.
He gets right on the back bumper. Here comes Daniel Hemric. They bounce off of each other.
Cockpit's full of smoke. You can hear the crowd, I mean, losing their mind. It's intense. And I can feel the momentum. I've told this many times after. Like, I can feel my momentum pulling me past him. Like, I know he's not stopping my momentum.
Checkered flag in the air. Daniel Hemric wins the NASCAR Xfinity Series Championship by a bumper.
Listen, let me tell you, we're talking like this much?
That. Yes.
Your entire life defined by this much.
If you think about the way that collegiate and professional sports have been set up in this country for as long as I can remember, there's incentive to keep the players uninformed so that everybody can profit off of your capabilities and your skills. That's not right. That's not right. You come from a community and a family where you may be the first to go to college and have a unique opportunity. Why shouldn't you be allowed to have an advisor who can tell you how you should be thinking about those opportunities? Because they want to keep you dumb, right, so that people can profit off your talent. Mm-hmm. And that's just something that personally I'm offended by. Mm. And I think there's a better way. And what we're seeing happen now, y'all gonna get me in trouble.
I like you.
I just mean by the NIA. Just make certain I can come work for the show after I get my pink slip.
You like to get messy. That's what we like to show. Yeah. And we like you.
I think what the NCAA is experiencing now is kind of the fruit of a rotten tree. Had they changed years ago and let you guys profit from your name on the back of a jersey, the EA Sports game that features clearly the player who's supposed to be you, that stuff.
But they gave us $5.
right. And don't spend it all in one place. then I think maybe we'd be in a different place. But it held on too long because people like total power and not just some. And folks got fed up.
Our Xfinity race on Saturday, June 19th, happened to be Juneteenth, right?
Was that intentional?
Well, NASCAR set the schedule, so no, it just kind of happened.
There, right?
Yeah, and not to mention, you know, most people just learned about what Juneteenth is within the last 12 months or 16 months. Right?
Let's celebrate. Let's get a new day off.
So, yeah, I didn't know what Juneteenth was growing up in New Jersey. I had never heard of Juneteenth.
Right.
But we did a partnership with Tennessee State University, HBCU in Nashville. We brought out 120 of their alums. We put them on buses in downtown Nashville, brought them out to the track. We gave them Slim and Huskies Pizza. Slim and Huskies was started by TSU grads who happen to be African-American men, two of them are frat brothers, gave them coupons to get Uncle Nearest Premium Whiskey, Uncle Nearest Black-owned Premium Whiskey Company, the most awarded premium whiskey in the world over the last 3 or 4 years, run by a husband and wife duo out of Shelbyville, Tennessee, and got them a chance to meet Bubba and be in the pits and have the full experience. Right. And I would say 99.9% of them had never been to a race before. And to a person, they all said they were coming back.
You only made one bad mistake. You said you brought them in on buses. I'm just too soon.
Was that 2020 was just helicopter.
I mean, damn. We talk about diversity. We talk about bringing them in on buses. I'm messing with you.
We were sitting in the front.
I mean, that's the most efficient way.
Where they sitting at?
Y'all probably don't know, I drove Bubba to high school for 3 years.
No, wow.
We grew up 2 miles apart from each other. Yeah, went to the same
Alabama.
High school.
Alabama?
No, he moved up here when he was probably 10 or 12, so we went to the same high school. He lived, you know, if that's the high school, I lived there, he lived there, so every morning, drive over, pick him up, drive to school, drop him off. 3 years, every day. You know how much that sucker gave me gas money? $20. For 3 years.
Really?
I'm talking
now
to you, Bubba.
Now he understands, Channing.
He's giving out T-shirts for, like, their water.
I see.
I'm just
20%.
Trying to get gas money.
We just need 20.
Hang on. I did wreck him at Phoenix, so we're even.
Oh, no!
I was just about to ask.
You ain't gonna go.
I don't know if I want to be your friend, because you and Bubba that tight. And you rap, why did you rap Bubba in Phoenix? What was that?
I got a little help, but I f***ed up.
Number three, Bubba Wallace is around and into the outside wall. Contact finds Bubba Wallace spinning up the banking and just nailing the safer barrier.
I want to be his marketing agent, Chan. So I'm trying to figure out who's on his team.
I'm lucky to be surrounded by a killer group of people.
All right, stop.
How much it costs?
Oh, he about to get serious.
I don't want a retainer.
Okay.
I want a rev share. No, I don't even want rev share. Just give me a percent of what I bring in. What I kill, I eat.
Fine. I'll eat it with you.
We talk about the sexiness.
Well, we need a lip sponsorship.
Sit down. No lips. I'm not going there.
Oh, you were talking about the man.
Hold on.
Okay. He's beautiful.
He is beautiful. But all right, Chan, listen. This is how we're going to position him.
Okay. I'm going to sit down for a second.
Listen, this is a good one. I'm done with the lips.
If you say the lips.
The shade of pink is great.
Lips, let's get past it.
Hold on. You didn't say if you just say lips, I'm gone.
All right. If I say lips again. But the shade of them. They're beautiful.
Beautiful man.
All right, cool. All right, hold on. Time out.
You want to raise kids?
Bro,
together?
Bro, but listen, we need to be going after Gucci. Hold on, time out. We need to be going after Gucci, Prada, Lanvin, Balenciaga, right? Like, think about that. Like,
the shoes look like socks.
You're sexy. Yeah. You're beautiful, right? You're the hottest guy in NASCAR. I'm sorry, Daniel.
Well, Daniel's in Xfinity. He could be the sexiest guy in Xfinity. I can be the sexiest guy in Cup.
That's true.
There you go.
So now what I'm saying is when we go to the racetrack, let's put a suit on. Yeah. You be the... When's the last time we seen a driver wear a suit?
You know what? You're looking at him.
You did this?
He
you're
did it already. Me, you behind.
The boss baby.
He had a tux fire suit.
Conor McGregor in the UFC. What'd he do? Boom. Here I am.
You do feel strong when you're in a suit, though.
Bruh, I'm telling you, that's what we do in the NFL. Mm. As we travel, we wear suits. Now take it to
what's
the next level.
What's Deion say?
You look good. You feel good. You feel good. You play good. You play good.
They pay good.
That's the show.
Hey.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.